Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in.
Today's scripture readings comes from the book of Acts, chapter 10, verses 9 through 16, 28, and 34 through 35. Listen for the word of the Lord. The next day, as they were on their journey and coming near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour, and he became hungry and desired something to eat. But while they were preparing the meal, he fell into a trance and saw the heaven opened, and something descending like a great sheet let down by four corners upon the earth. In it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "No, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice came to him again a second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." This happened three times, and the thing was taken up at once to heaven. And he said to them, "You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit anyone of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean." And Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Pray with me, please. May the words of my mouth and the words of my meditations be acceptable to you in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'm privileged to be with you this morning. I thank God for your presence. I have been an itinerant preacher for most of my adult life. And like many of you, I'm sometimes reluctant and skeptical about guest preachers at church. However, I'm also reminded of one example of a great preacher whose name is Charles Spurgeon. Though he was raised in a Christian household, was often in despair and darkness as a young man. One snowy Sunday morning on the way to church, the snow was too heavy and prevented him from going any further. He took a turn and went down to a side street into a primitive Methodist church. The church had a dozen or maybe 15 people, and when it was time to preach, instead of the minister who was also snowed in, a thin-looking man approached the pulpit. As written in Spurgeon's own autobiography, this man, he surmised, was a shoemaker, a tailor, or some sort. He had a strong Essex accent and did not pronounce words rightly. He must not be a proper preacher. The text he preached was in Isaiah 45, verse 22. "Look unto me and be you saved, all you people." The preacher repeated the text in iterations and looking around at the pew. And then he pointed at Spurgeon. He said, "Young man, you look miserable," he continued, "and you'll always be miserable, miserable in your life and miserable in death, if you don't believe my and obey my text. But if you obey now, this moment, you will be saved." Then lifting up his hands, he shouted as if only a Methodist preacher would do, "Young man, look to Jesus. Look, look, look. You have nothing to do but to look, look and live." I saw at once the way of salvation. This is how Charles Spurgeon changed his life around. And by the age of 22, he became one of the greatest preachers in England. This is an illustration of God's power when we preach the word of God. But this is also an example of when we listen to God's urging, we can do great things, like the green eggs and ham. The message this morning is a takeoff from Dr. Seuss' Green Eggs and Ham. I will not be elaborating much on the story, rather to relate the idea of choosing what we want to coincide with God's desires for us. In the story of Green Eggs and Ham, the unnamed character was reluctant to try green eggs and ham, despite of the constant urgings from Sam I Am. At the end, however, the boy gave in to the urgings. He tried the green eggs and ham and he liked it. The message this morning is about Peter's trance in Joppa and later his encounter with Cornelius. Today's passage is a familiar story. Peter was in Caesarea, a coastal town by the Mediterranean Sea. Caesarea in the time of Peter was a Roman town with typical amenities such as underground sewage, aqueducts, an amphitheater, Roman-style walls, and a massive harbor made from a seawater-resistant cement derived from the volcanic ash. So it was a very posh town. Some of the historical remnants of these structures in Caesarea can still be seen today. A centurion in the Roman system would be like a captain in our modern military system. He will be responsible for looking out about 100 soldiers under his command. This is someone with authority. Our text in Acts tells us this centurion believed, worshiped, feared God. His servants and his households were also believers of God. Now remember, this is a Roman person. He was a good witness for God. He worshiped God faithfully and trusted him in what I call an active and dynamic relationship with God. The centurion trusted God. He was faithful in his prayers, and he received a positive answer from God. Then moving on to Peter's green eggs and ham moment. Peter also had a similar experience as the centurion did. He was praying to God at noontime, and he was hungry. When he was hungry, we did not know what he was praying, nor whether he had a history of hypoglycemia that he might have caused him to be in a trance. Now, because Luke, the author of Acts of the Apostles, was a physician, it is possible that he was keener and more observant to this type of happenings. In the vision, Peter saw a cloth descending from heaven containing all kinds of creatures. It was a collection of animals, reptiles and birds of the air. To a devout Jew who followed strict Mosaic laws and traditions, these items were forbidden to be used as food. Even those that were permitted to be eaten had to be properly prepared. And so, to be in the presence of this and eat these items would not be kosher. A voice said to Peter, "Kill and eat these creatures. Peter realized the message was from God as he addressed, saying, "No, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice came to him again in the second time. This happened three times, and the thing was taken up at once to heaven. Now, like the grumpy character in Green Eggs and Ham, Peter's reply was like, "I don't like green eggs and ham. Sam, I am. I don't like green eggs and ham." While Peter was pondering about the meaning of his encounter in this vision, the cohorts from the centurion in Caesarea arrived at the place where Peter was residing. After he had heard about the story of the centurion and the message from God, Peter realized God was in the amid the two stories. He received the guests kindly. The next day, they departed from Joppa to Caesarea, to the household of the centurion. It took a day's journey before they arrived at the centurion's house. When the centurion saw Peter, he got down to his knees to worship him. Peter magnanimously told the centurions to get up. As they worshiped together, Peter boldly shared to the centurion, his household, and to his invited guests the good news of Jesus Christ, of what he did and what he expected of all of them. The Holy Spirit was with them all, and those who received the good news were baptized and received the Spirit, speaking in tongues and extolling God. Now remember, these people were Gentiles, and upon receiving the good news, they also were received into God's kingdom with the evidence of the speaking in tongues and the Holy Spirit. In this story, Peter started off with food items he avoided traditionally, and according to his religious belief, to association with Jews, with Gentiles, and those perceived as unclean. At the end, Peter's revelation was in Acts 10:34. "Truly I perceive that God shows no partiality." If our choice is a hindrance to God's work, we must change course. In another word, like the character in Dr. Seuss's story, we will accept the invitation for green eggs and hams, and we will learn to like it. Green eggs and hams are not just creatures on a sheet of cloth descending from heaven. It is about people we are unaccustomed to be associating with, their habits, their languages, the food they eat, etc. We are reminded when God, who created the heaven and earth and all that is within, deemed that they are good and very good in God's eye. We are not to put our biased preferences to spoil God's work. To conclude, our church and denomination are going through major changes. The world and the society have changed greatly, and especially after the COVID-19 pandemic. We are in the process of transition as we prepare ourselves in new directions, including hiring a new senior pastor. This, to me, is a green eggs and ham moment. Rather than giving in to our anxiety, this is a time to be with God. We have renovated our church building, starting 10 years ago with the Move Forward 150 movement, and we've restored the combination pipe organ and digital organ. Our stained glass windows in our sanctuary were brought back to its original glory of its era. Now we have the proper HVAC system in the sanctuary, including a commercial kitchen, a new roof with solar panels. I've often heard also from the congregation that since we have been entrusted with this beautiful structure, we are now responsible for restoring it for future generations to enjoy. Maintaining a church building of this size takes a lot of effort, not just physical money, but our energy, prayer, hope, vision, and action. The fact that in our Southeast Illinois Presbytery, over 60% of the churches are vacant without a pastor, and many could not afford to hire a minister. A typical pastor search averages about 2 to 3 years. Some questions we need to ask ourselves is whether our congregation reflects the demographics of our area. Are we willing to make the changes for God's call to us as a church? Also, as the age of the congregation gets older, we are no longer able to do much of the work needed to conduct all our ministries. All this work should not also be put upon the ministers and the staff. What are our long-term plans and short-term plans? These are the questions that may turn out to be like green eggs and hams for us. Can we just continue carrying on doing things they are and we've been doing? Or are we heading and heeding the still small voice from the Holy Spirit? The coming months will be critical for this congregation to be vigilant in prayers, to have courage in trusting God's guidance, and not to give in to anxiety, which, according to C.S. Lewis' Screwtape Letters, is one of the most potent weapons used by the devil one against God's people. I wanted to share two specific experiences I have had during the past month at this church. 4 weeks ago, a Chinese couple visited us for Sunday worship. They were in town to attend their daughter's graduation from the U of Illinois. It turned out the couple were active, devout Christians from China, and specifically from Hainan Island. Hainan was the location 100 years ago where our own Mei Chapin was a missionary in China. This encounter reminded me of the fruit and work of our own church and our attention, not just among ourselves, but in the four corners of the world. Another Sunday, I met another visitor from San Antonio, Texas, Alan, who was the son-in-law of our own Dr. and Mrs. Metcalf, Bill and Pat. Alan is an architect and engineer. In our conversation afterwards, we spoke about the different ways of using old church buildings for other purpose to honor God, like the reluctant and grumpy character in Dr. Seuss' book. God is nudging me to try out green eggs and ham. Maybe in our next Sunday brunch, I'll prepare green eggs and ham for you. To end, I'll use one of my favorite verses from Philippians 4, 6 to 7. The Lord is at hand. Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.